Psalm chapter 139. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word this evening? Psalm chapter 139. And we're going to be looking at the very last two verses of this psalm that David wrote. Really a psalm of praise. It's a psalm that is written to an all-knowing God. And the psalm goes really into great detail of just how big God is and what God does for you and I. And we come to the end of this verse here, and this is where I would like for us to concentrate our time tonight. Psalm chapter 139, would you look with me at verse number 23 and verse number 24. The Bible says this, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." Now watch the wording here, "and lead me in the way everlasting." There's an asking here, something that is taking place. This is really an amazing passage of Scripture as David begins to call out and as David begins to talk to his God, his Savior. He says, "Search me, O God. I want you to know my heart. Know me." We understand what that means. Try me, the testing that is here. I want you to test me. I want you to try me. I want you to know my thoughts. As we said this morning, you and I have to comprehend that we can fool everybody. We can fool those around us. We can fool a wife. We can fool a husband. We can fool a parent. We can fool a teacher. But you and I cannot fool God. He knows our heart. Remember, as we talked about this morning, it's not just this outward appearance. It's not just playing church. And as many times we have seen over the years, there have been those that have come in and they played the part. They look like everything's fine and dandy in the house. Man, they got their Bible in hand. Boy, they got their tie on. On the outward appearance, everybody looks at it and says, "Oh, wow, woo-hoo. Man, look at them. What a great Christian they are." But on the inside, they're dead. On the inside, God knows them. And David says here, "I want you to try me. I want you to know me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then I want you to lead me. I want you to lead me in the way of everlasting." Tonight, I want us to concentrate on this verse for the next couple of moments. I'd like to preach a message this evening entitled this, "Reboot." I want us to look this year at starting fresh. Starting fresh. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I'm thankful, Father, for the visitors that are here this evening. And Lord, I'm especially thankful for those who each and every Sunday come and bring their families and we gather around. And Father, once again, it's not to check off a list, Father, it's because we want to know more about you, who you are to us and in our lives. Father, become real to us once again this evening. Lord, when we talk about a subject starting fresh, I believe, Father, is something that every one of us needs in our life. Doesn't matter whether we attend church often or how often we read our Bibles. Lord, oftentimes we need to stop and just repeat these words, "Search me, O God." I mean, Lord, know my heart, know my thoughts. Lord, study me, reveal to me, so that, Father, ultimately we can follow you as you lead us. Lord, move as only you can tonight. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Electronics are really incredible. The day and age that you and I live in, it's really amazing. I am a millennial, as they would call me. I'm 38 years old. I was born in 1983, and I've talked to our life stage group often that I feel like we are very blessed. We're kind of almost lucky as we have been brought up because we remember the days growing up before really cell phones took off. We remember the day when the World Wide Web came out. And I'm sure many of you in here remember back in the early 90s, 91, 92, 93, when really AOL started kind of taking off. And you remember dial-up? How many here can raise your hand? You remember dial-up? You have some old-timers in here. You remember dial-up when it would come on. You'd wait and you'd hear that static, and you'd wait about 2 or 3 minutes. And then finally you would get there. And you could search and you could do some really cool things. And you could jump on there. And we kind of remember life before that. We remember life in the woods and building forts and just using our imagination. And then we remember going to college, and some people at college had cell phones, but not everybody. We remember life before text messages and Google and everything that from YouTube to TikTok to Instagram to Facebook. We remember life really before all of this, but now it's really amazing how technology has just taken over, and it's really a great thing. I enjoy technology. I like keeping up with it. I like having things that are new. I remember being in West Virginia. I was probably one of the first pastors that was there, not one of the first, but one of many that began to preach from a tablet and type my notes on there. Believe it or not, there are even those that were kind of against it in the beginning. Well, oh, boy, I'm telling you, this is bringing on the Antichrist, and this is part of 666, and nonetheless, we kind of proved them wrong. But nonetheless, we like technology, and we like technology. Check it out. When it works. Technology does not always work. Technology can be a pain. Last Monday night, I was watching the national championship, and as I was there, I paused it because I needed to go refill my Diet Coke, and so I paused it, and I went back, I poured my Diet Coke, I ran back over to get in the game, and I hit the play button, and nothing happened. And so I was trying not to panic, but it was a perfect time to panic, and so I hit the play button very slowly, and it didn't come on, and I hit it again, and again, that threw the remote, busted it again. No, I'm just gonna do that, happened. I finally had to go over and turn the TV off, and then I had to bring it back on. I had to miss a couple of plays, and it was honestly a little bit aggravating. Many times in our life, there are things in technology that does not always work. Carrie was texting Vicky and Gary at the back, and she's at home with London, who's got an ear infection, and she's watching live stream. I'm not sure what happened, but her computer went off. She texted Gary, "Hey, Gary, what's going on? Where's live stream?" Gary's checking, "Oh, it's on back here." And what Carrie said, "I had to miss like 10 minutes of the message," and that was the part I was really preaching to her. It was a real bummer, but nonetheless, she had to reboot the computer, and there's things in our life that we have to reboot. We've just got to stop for a moment. We got to start over. Even in our spiritual life and our walk, sometimes we need a fresh start. There are those times that we need that reboot. When a reboot takes place, what happens is it reorganizes and refreshes. And it gives us what really we need, and that is a kind of a new beginning. What it does is it kind of refreshes and gives us a new start. It's a, well, let me put it this way, it is a refocus for us. And in our lives, in our families, in our spiritual lives, our personal lives, sometimes, at times, this is what you and I need. Our Savior to come in and to give us that reboot, that refreshing that we need. When God gets in our life and when God begins to stir us up, what you and I have then is what we have is this real joy. What we have is this fresh dynamic of God's work within. And you and I will begin to see and walk and hear, and we begin to trust. Why? Because there is this reboot. There is this cleaning out that takes place. But what I would like to encourage us tonight, for all of us in here this evening, is this. This is not a reboot that we have to take once a year. It's not a refresh of just, oh, well, okay, now it's 2020. 2021's behind, so, okay, now we get a new start. This is not necessarily just something that has to take place when we take the Lord's Supper, in which we'll be taking this next Sunday night. And it's a time of remembrance, a time that we're learning about and remembering what Christ did for us. No, it's not just about that. This is something that can take place, really, if you and I want, on a very daily schedule. It's something that should take place often. Like the psalmist said, a search and a cleansing. Cleansing takes time because we are prone to deny or minimize our own sins. How often have we prayed, "Oh, Lord, whatever's wrong in my life, Lord, just show me." And then we wait about 10 seconds, and then we move to verbalizing our request. "Okay, Lord, like a genie in a bottle, here's what I need today. I need this to happen, I need this to take place." When truly it would be better if we prayed, "Lord, how shallow I am. God, come in and forgive me of the things that have been wrong in my life. And then spent time confessing those wayward attitudes or that hardness of heart. It was Dr. John Phillips that said it like this. Mark this well. The depth and power of your prayer life will never be greater than the depth of your daily confession and cleansing. It is, watch now, you and I getting alone with Him and experiencing and spending that time with Him, communicating with Him, allowing Him to refresh and to reboot you and I. Once again, to get that calibration, it's oftentimes with our team here, even at Crosspoint Baptist Church, we'll spend time in prayer, but then at the beginning of the week, we'll take our leadership team and we'll get together and we begin to look at our week and we begin to set schedules and we begin to look at what needs adjusting and what do we need to accomplish and what needs to happen. But listen, that's just not in the physical life. It also needs to take place also in our spiritual life. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what do I need to do? Lord, where do I need to go? Lord, what needs to take place in my life? And God, this week, what I need you to do is to reboot what I want and what I need and what I think the way I need to go. And no, Lord, what I need you to do is to lead me. Let me follow. Let me trust. Let me bask in your mercy and your grace and your peace. And God, in a time when the world is turned upside down, Lord, let that not be my life, but let me follow you. So for the next couple of moments, I want us to look at, after we have this fresh reboot, after we have this cleansing, after we talk to God, how is it that we're going to move forward? What are some scripture-based actions that you and I can follow in order to have and walk in a clean life with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Well, here's what we're going to do. Number one, if you're taking notes this evening, here's what I want you to write down. Number one is remember. Just that, remember. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember. Paul said it like this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now watch this. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, you and I, watch now, have got to remember that our identity is in Christ. You and I are followers of Jesus. How many are saved tonight? Would you say amen? You and I, watch now, that is our identity. That is why we exist. We are not our own, but we are bought with a price, and it was the precious blood of Jesus. And at that point, you and I surrendered our rights to Him, and everything we know about walking in Him is revealed in the Word of God. Life is not to be lived, well, just however I want or however I see it. No, listen, friend, life ought to be lived. Remembering that you and I are bought with a price. You and I are God's. You and I have been redeemed. You and I have a Savior. You and I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You and I have someone who calms the storms. You and I, whether you want to believe it or not, we have a God that has always existed, exists today, and will always exist. If you believe that, say amen. And that God is interested in you. And He's interested in me. It doesn't matter where we've been or who we've been around. It doesn't matter whether we attend church every week or we don't. God is interested in us. And you and I at times need to reboot and comprehend and understand that God that is in the very Word of God loves you. And He loves me. And he shed his blood on a cross to die for you and for me. He conquered death for you, and he conquered death for me. He is interested in our day-to-day actions. He's interested in the way that you and I treat others. He's interested in giving us peace and love and mercy. He's interested in giving us grace. He's interested, listen, college, in every one of your lives. Our identity is not wrapped up in this world. This world is, to be honest with you, what good does that do anyways? So we're going to get wrapped up in money? It's here and it's gone. No one takes money into eternity. It's in what? Our reputation? It's here and it's gone. It's just, well, it's going to be built up in the business that I build. Let me tell you something, friend. There are many that were here and they're gone. They built palaces and kingdoms and it lasted for a little while, but then now they're gone. Our identity is not found here on this earth. And to be honest with you, what a very shallow life to live just based on maybe 70, what, 80 years if we're blessed, and then boom, it's gone? What a waste. Our identity is found in Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed for you and for me. And reboot must take place in time. Search me, oh God. Try me. And when we try and we get those things right and we're walking with our Savior and we know his love and we feel him, we have to remember, friend, who you and I are in Christ. But secondly, I want you to write this down. Run. Run. After you and I have this reboot, we must run from temptation. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 at verse number 10, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. What are we following after? Watch now. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Paul told this young preacher, Timothy, he said, flee also youthful lust. Listen to that word, flee. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace in them that call, watch now, that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Christian, let me help us out tonight. Now, hold on. Let's watch. Okay, Pastor, write it down. Flee, we've heard it before. Okay, flee temptation, flee youthful lust. Good, great. Let's just move on and get to the next one. Hold on. I believe that being passive about temptation sets a person up for failure. We've been talking in detail over the last several weeks on Wednesday nights, and I know we have young people in here, but you know, sometimes young people need to hear this too. We're talking over the last 2 weeks about immorality. We've been talking about pornography and how it has so exploded in our nation. And I'm not just talking about a lost world that has no moral compass. What I'm talking about this evening is it has taken over local churches and men and women and their lives. It's destroying our college students. It's destroying our young people. The average age now is 14 years of age that a young person is addicted to pornography. We're talking about little bitty kids that are being just infiltrated nowadays. And unfortunately, what we've done in our churches, if we've taken a step back and nobody wants to talk about it, let's be real careful and let's just talk about something else. Let's just argue over the color of the flowers, or let's talk about why we don't have this. Hold on. Being passive about things that are destroying our families is going to destroy us as local churches. And when the local church stops doing its job, friend, you and I can look to the clouds because God is going to return. Amen. We have to be doing our job. Sin is sin is sin is sin. We can't back off of it now because it's politically incorrect to talk about, or, well, we might hurt somebody's feelings. Let me tell you something, friend. You jump in the Word of God is going to hurt some feelings. We can't step away, back off. Oh, be careful. No, you and I have got to hold high the banner of God. Amen. Let the world know what we're against, but let the world also know what you and I are for. We're also for love and grace and peace and mercy and loving our neighbor and helping others and living a life of joy and that's not full of fear. If you believe this tonight, say amen. Amen. But the wording here is flee. You know what flee means? Run. Think about your worst fear. Think about something that, for maybe some of you ladies, it might be spiders. My wife would tell you, she is horrified. I mean, like, legit. Tommy and we kill spiders all the time. I'm not talking about, like, daddy long legs. I'm talking about, like, teeny, eeny. You got to have a magnifying glass to find it, and yet we're always killing it. And I don't mind. I mean, it makes me look bigger my wife's size. So, yeah, honey, let me get that for you with the bare hand, baby. Did you see that? And I got rid of it. And I mean, she's horrified of spiders. What's your worst fear? Your mother-in-law? I'm just joking. What is in your life that is your worst fear? For me, honestly, I it's snakes. I don't like snakes. They're evil. They're wicked. They've been cursed. God said they are cursed. You like snakes? You're probably cursed too. Just stay away. You know, I don't like them. Carrie and I were walking in the desert. This was 2020, and this is right when COVID hit. Everything shut down, and we really could not do much, but we could get out in the desert. We could walk, and man, Carrie and I were walking that desert, and I'm telling you, this is the truth. It's so embarrassing to say, but man, this snake came out of the desert, and it just kind of wiggled out, and I'm telling you, this thing was like huge. You know what I mean? Like, it was really small, but it was like a giant earthworm, but it looked big to me, and this thing came out. And Carrie says, I pushed her. I didn't push her. I was helping her, you know, like, whoa, watch out, honey. Don't let that snake get you. But I'm telling you what, my heart was racing, and I was just seeing that stupid little thing wiggle out there. Man, I was ready to check it out. You ready for this? Flee. Run. I wasn't playing around with it. Here, snakey. Oh, let me see if I can catch it. Look at these people on Discovery Channel. Let them do that crazy stuff. Oh, look at this snake, and let's catch it. And you know what this is called? And oh, man, you're demon-possessed. Get away from me. I don't want anything to do with it. Why? I don't like it. Flee. Flee youthful lust is this. Get away from it. It's a guarding of our eyes. It's a guarding of our souls. It's a guarding of our young kids. Run. We reboot this year when you and I have flesh. We're saying, God, search me, try me, know me. Okay, see if there will be any wicked way of me. And then we're going to run back to the same garbage that we have been in. No, we have to avoid that temptation. We've got to be alert and let at what we're looking at and the way that we're thinking and guarding the window of our mind. Believers must take the initiative to remove temptations and to place safeguards and invite accountability in. God, help me. God, be with me. Why? Because if we're going to reboot, we've got to remember, and then we've got to run. But number three, would you write this down? Number three, reunite. Reunite. We have to reunite with honesty. Friend, let me remind us this evening that no one is above temptation. Pride will trap us. James chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, and he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God, check it out, resisteth the proud. He goes against the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The most foolish thing about the old flesh is thinking that we can overcome things with our best efforts. You and I as Americans, sometimes proud Americans, we have a way of exalting self-reliance, making almost a God, little g, out of our abilities. This is delusional thinking. Watch now. Self-reliance can easily become a trap of the enemy, and pride becomes a stronghold. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. You and I have to be honest with ourselves. You and I cannot beat sin on our own. This is not something that we run into 2022 and, okay, I got a problem with this sin, or I got a problem with this, and, okay, God, search me, try me. Okay, now God has revealed some things. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna just accomplish this on my own. Friend, if we lived a million lifetimes, we couldn't accomplish it on our own. But that's why you and I have a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Why? We've got to reunite with honesty. We've got to reunite with the thinking of God is there, and he's going to help us, and he's going to guide us, and he's going to lead us. Man, we never sit back. I mean, one of the most frustrating things, I think, in life is trying to deal with someone. I'm not picking on anybody in this room. This is not calling anybody else. I'm telling you, we have all been in a situation where, have you ever talked to somebody and you know you're right? Oftentimes it happens. I'm not teenagers. You know I love you. I'm not picking on you at all. But you're going to get to a place, teenager, you're going to look back and be like, oh, that's why mom and dad said that. But nonetheless, you're talking to somebody, maybe they're younger, maybe it's a manager, maybe it's a coworker, and you know you're right. And you're trying to show them, you're trying to, okay, well, here's what's really right, and here's what we need to do, and this right way. And here's how they sit. Here's how they sit. They sit there like this. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting frustrated just sitting here like this. It's frustrating. But oftentimes I believe this is how we sit with God. No, I know what's right. No, I know more than you. I got this. Maybe it's not a proverbial fist in the air, but it is an attitude that we got this. Hey, friend, let me help us out tonight. We don't got this. But we have a Savior that's undefeated. We have a Savior that's there for us. We have a Savior that forgave us, and we have a Savior that leads us, and we have a Savior that has never been wrong. And although we may look at him and say, man, God, this timing is weird, and this timing is off, and I just don't understand why this happened. I don't know why this took place. Meanwhile, can I help you out tonight? God has never been shocked. God's never been wrong. We may get frustrated because we're going through the storm and we're bailing water and we're scared to death. And here's Jesus in the back of the boat and he's sleeping. But his timing's always perfect. He stands up just like he always does. And well, peace be still. Whew, just like that, it's done. That's the way he works. That's who he is. It is reuniting with honesty. But after that reboot and that fresh and that searching and that trying, now leading us and remembering and running and reuniting, by which you write this down, read. Number four, read. Read about the fallen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 6. I'm going to read this verse, but I don't want you to tune out. You've got to catch this and listen very carefully. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away in diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these which resist, watch now, which also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Comprehend this, it is a reading about those who have fallen. One report of someone's failure is too many, and yet we can read of thousands throughout the Word of God. We have those who have failed, and we're reminded often of those who went before us, and man, whether it was a failure in this area, we read about them, and when we read about them, here's what we ought to do. Watch now. It is not reading about them and all of a sudden become Pharisaical as, well, thank God I'm not as that person. No, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it once again this week. As independent Baptists, as Cross Point Baptist Church is, yes. Let me tell you something, friend. God forbid we ever become Pharisaical. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm not a sad person. Boy, did you see them? They came to church, didn't even have a tie on. Didn't even, some of you, everybody looks around real good. Boy, I'm here to tell you, they always sit in the back. But hold on. Before we get this Pharisaical attitude, looking and judging everybody else so that you and I can exalt each other, that's not why we have things listed for us in the Word of God. It's a warning. And we're going to, every one of us have those in our life that go through trials and tribulations. We're going to have those in this very room whose teenager may go astray. We may have those in this very room that go through divorces. We have those in this room that, man, they struggle with sin. That is not a time, excuse me, friend, that's not a time to beat somebody down. That's not a time to look at them. Well, I knew that was coming. Yeah, I probably should have never gotten married. Boy, we knew that was going to take place. You know, that kid in Sunday school class in Awana, they never paid attention. Excuse me, friend. Oh, who are you and I? Can I remind us tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? There are none righteous, no, not one. There is not a person, including this man, in this very room that deserves to go to heaven. But Jesus Christ came and he died and he shed his blood for all of us. And there are going to be those that fall, and there are going to be those that are down, and there's going to be those that are involved in sin. And that is a time, friend, for you and I to step in and to pray and to love and to exhort and to lift those up and encourage him. Don't you give up on God. Don't you give up on church. Don't you give up on the Lamb. Don't you give up on the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's got you, friend. He loves you. Listen, there might be the prodigal that gets away, but when that prodigal is ready to return, when that prodigal has had enough of the world and eating with the pigs, when that prodigal's ready to come back, Jesus is not sitting up there in the heavens saying, well, I guess I'll let you back in. Dust yourself off. No, Jesus is running to that prodigal, and he's lifting him up, and he's putting a robe on him and a ring on his finger. Why? Because he's a child of the King, friend. May you and I as Christians always reach out. But may we also learn. My dad used to say often when I was little, my dad is one of the heroes of the faith, and Dad used to always say this verse, son, take heed lest you fall. Son, take heed lest you fall. I remember 26 years old, and I became pastor in West Virginia's. Went through the pulpit committee, voted in. 26, young. Man, so young. And I remember the very first person I called. I got the call from the deacons. It was at another church, and we're back in the Sunday school class, this other church, and pastor would like to extend the invitation. Man, I was so excited. Carrie and I were hugging and kissing and crying. We were just so excited. First person I called right there was my dad. Call him on the phone. Dad, we got the vote. I never forget the words that my dad said to me. Didn't say anything else. Not congratulations. Not that's incredible. Not that's awesome. Here's what he said. Son, stay humble. You know why? Because my dad had seen a lot of other men fall, good men. And he knew that in his own son's life, you better take heed lest you fall. And let me tell you something, teenager. I am reminded each and every week that Satan hates me, and he hates my family, and he hates what's going on at Cross Point Baptist Church. He hates the visitors that were here. He hates four families that are going to join the church. He hates the baptismal waters being stirred. He can't stand what's going on. He's after me. He's after my testimony. He's after my family. He's after my thought life. He's after our deacons. He's after our Sunday school teachers. He's after your marriages. Let me tell you something. He will not be satisfied until, Brother Steve, we shut the doors, turn the lights off, and just dust collects in this auditorium. Coach Schneider, he will not stop. Well, let's just pack it up. I guess we're just done. No, we're not just going to play defense. Oh, yeah, we got a lot of defensive weapons. We got a helmet. And our feet are shod. We got a breastplate of righteousness. Look, we got a shield. Let me tell you, we're going to play some defense, but we also got a sword. And it's called the Word of God, and we're going on the offense. And we might read of those who have fallen before, instead of beating them down, well, thank God I'm not as David. Good night, Jonah. What? It's crazy running down to Tarsus. No, hold on. Before we start reading of all these people and looking on their Facebooks, and, boy, I'm glad I'm not there. No, let's just learn this evening and read and to comprehend that could be any one of us in this very room. We've got to concentrate on our Savior. And after that reboot, we've got to reunite and we've got to read. But I want you to write this word down. We must rejoice. Rejoice in a good spiritual pulse. Rejoice. Search me, O God, look at this, and know my heart. He knows us. And know my thoughts. Try me. See if there be any wicked way and lead me in the way of everlasting. Many people today are wearing devices and they're monitoring their physical health. But you and I have the very Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit that is there to monitor our spiritual life. And when you and I have a quick checkup, when things are right with God, friend, I'm just telling you, you and I, we can rejoice in that. You and I can be happy. Why? Because you and I truly understand what living a life, are you ready for this? Of freedom is all about. Now, I'm not going to be fooled tonight. I've been a pastor for years now, and there'll be those that say, well, good grief, yo. You guys, you're always, boy, you're so full of rules and religion, and, oh, you guys, I could never be a Christian. You guys are just in such chains. I don't know whose life you've been looking at, but if you knew the Jesus that I know, if you don't know him, you don't know what real freedom is. You've never experienced what real peace is. He gives us peace that you'll never find on CNN or ABC or Fox News. He gives us real peace. I don't care how many doctors you see, he gives us real peace. You know, the whole world right now is living in fear. But let me tell you something, friend. God's given us not the spirit of fear, but he's given us a sound mind. A mind that you and I comprehend. And we don't have to live in, oh, what's going to happen and oh, and this and that. And to be honest with you, that's why we meet so many Christians that are in their 80s and some even in their 90s. And you talk to them and they're saved and they have such peace in their life. How do you have such peace? Boy, they're and nurses and even those in hospice and others say, man, they're just, they're the sweetest, nicest people. They had just such peace. You know why they had peace? Because you can't scare a Christian with death. They're about to live in the presence of God for all of eternity. You know, you and I, sometimes we get bogged down and we watched the news last night. I don't know what I was thinking, but I was doing some study and some reading. I stopped and I turned on the news. Well, I haven't done that in a long time, but for some reason, I was out of my mind and I turned on the news. And I'm telling you, after 5 minutes, I've never thrown a remote in my life, but I've used it twice tonight. I almost threw the remote the second time in a week. It made me so mad, like just so crazy, like, I can go through two channels, two different news sources, the same story, and yet be told two totally different stories. And I'm almost upset. My goodness, I'm so, oh, this, and just, oh, my word, they're lying to us, and oh, the brainwashing, and that. I'm just getting so upset. But to be honest with you, I can turn it off and have full peace that God knows exactly what he's doing. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. President Biden, President Trump, President Obama, all the way through the Bushes, the Reagan, the Clinton, they're not our Savior. Jesus Christ is. These men are going to come and they're going to go, but Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign forever, friend. And you and I can be happy, rejoicing. Doesn't matter. Oh, Pastor, were you okay? And I got so many texts. Were you okay? Your team lost. And, oh, I'm so sorry your team lost. I forget it. I know y'all. You were all rooting against me, you bunch of liars. And, oh, your team lost. And, you know, again, check it out. Guess what? Life goes on. I got a lot. Like the world and football and all the craziness of stocks up and down, this and coronavirus and this variant. Well, forget it, man. God's on the throne. He knows what he's doing. And you and I can rejoice. But I want you to write this last one down. It's to read and rejoice. But lastly, and here's where we end, it's reach. Reach for opportunity. Search me, try me. But watch this, lead. God's going to lead, okay? Well, what's God going to lead us in? Check it out. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. After that reboot, after you and I have been refreshed, after you and I, tomorrow morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, if God tarries, and we're ready to take on that new day, okay, what is next? It's reaching for an opportunity. And every moment is an opportunity to reveal His glory by practicing His presence in our life. This is one thing that's so simple, and yet, to be honest with your friend, it's so powerful. It alone keeps the believers focused on their purpose in life. If we stay on mission, we are fortified to resist the subtleness of temptation that comes in our life. It is reaching for opportunity. This next week, you and I have an opportunity to plant a seed. You and I have an opportunity. We have two new tracks that are in the back to grab these tracks and we might not be able to win. I said a couple weeks ago, it's been years since I think somebody's won somebody to the Lord on a front porch. But you know what? Our goal is not to win. Our goal is just to go out and to plant the seed. God's going to give the increase. That's not our job. God's going to give that. What are you and I? What's our responsibility? Plant. 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 Invite. Be a witness. Let our social media count for Christ. Comprehend that, listen, sometimes you and I need to push that little power button and hold it down. You ever done that? A little bit longer. Nate, you've been there. A little bit longer. Let it go till what? Till your system reboots. Tonight, sometimes dads, moms, we need to get our families down at the altar and just get a reboot at life. We've been here, we've been concentrating on this, the culture of this. Hey, family, tonight we're going to get a reboot together. Local church, let me remind you this evening, family, God's after us. Excuse me, Satan's after us, but so is God, and He wants us to serve Him, to please Him, to find our identity in Him. Can I encourage us this evening in just a moment? Let's talk to Him. God, You know where I need a reboot. Search me and try me. But God, most of all, lead me the way of everlasting.